Let me ask a question to start with. Every time that Jesus preached while he was here upon this earth, every time that he taught, did everyone at his hearing believe the words that he said, and did everyone render obedience to the things that were required by his teaching? It's rhetorical, but you should be answering in your head, no, that was not the case. It was not the case not only with Jesus, it was not the case with John the Baptizer, nor any of the apostles that followed, nor any of the inspired men as they taught God's word. As a matter of fact, when we look in Matthew the 13th chapter, in verse 13, Jesus talking about or answering the question, why do you speak in parables, says, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. Where I made the statement, or ask the question, did everyone at the hearing of Jesus' teaching render obedience? And you, in your minds, hopefully you said no, because that is certainly the case. Who was it that Jesus was speaking to? Who was it that he was teaching? Who was his work to while he was here upon this earth? Was it to the Gentiles? No. It was to God's people. I understand, you understand, that whenever I teach things or anyone teaches things about the way of salvation, there will be those that will not respond. They just will not do it. But when we teach from God's word to people that are God's people, what should be the result of that teaching from God's word? A lack of response? A disbelief? A rebellion? Or should it be receiving God's word, ready to do His will, even if it means making a change in your life? I set up the lesson for us today with those words, because I'm going to ask this question. What is your attitude toward attendance? I'm talking about coming here, and not just on the first day of the week, but I'm talking about when the doors are open, coming here Wednesday. When we get to the point of having meetings, being at meetings, whenever there is God's word that's being taught, whenever God is being praised, what is your attitude toward that? And I'm not talking to those that are not children of God. You get excused from this particular discussion. I'm talking to those that have been baptized for the remission of their sins, that supposedly have been convicted to Christ Jesus, with that penitent attitude to do His will. I'm talking to us. I'm talking to you. What is your attitude toward attendance? First of all, do you have the convenient season attendance? Where if I look over in Colossians 1st chapter and verse 16, the preeminence of Jesus and His deity is being discussed by Paul here. And he says, for by Him, that is by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. The life that we live is to be for Christ Jesus. The jobs that have been given to us should be for the glorification, giving back to the Lord Jesus. The time that has been made available to us, time being a creation of Jesus Christ Himself, is to be used in magnifying His name. And there are those that want to have the idea, well, it's my time. It belongs to me. I put in my time. I work throughout the week. And when I decide, because I have done this, then I will either come to worship service or not. It is my decision, because it's my time, because I put in my time at work. Brethren, it's not our time. It is that which is created by Christ Jesus for us to be used for a very specific purpose. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Just stop right there. And that speaks to the time. And again, let me just go ahead and put the qualifier out there right now at the beginning of this sermon. I'm not talking to those that have physical ailments where they cannot be here. I'm not talking to those. Can we get this turned around, Robert? I'm not talking to those that out of prudence and safety for the congregation stayed at home. I'm not talking about Stephen this morning. I'll just go ahead and call his name because he's concerned about the congregation after being exposed to COVID. I'm not talking about those that are sick, such as Nina, not being able to be here today because of the procedure. I'm talking to those that have the ability to be here, but use excuses. Use excuses that do not excuse them. And when Isaiah says here, seek the Lord while He may be found, that means that with all of our heart, with all of our desire, we do the Lord's will. And we come and we worship our God because we desire to do so because of what has been given to us. Call upon Him while He is near. He says then in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And someone at this point will say, well, you know, every congregation that I've ever seen, you have this attendance that's pretty good on Sunday morning and then it falls off on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night and then it falls off again on Wednesday. It's just a given, so everyone is excused because that's the way I've always seen it. Well, I'll tell you, it's not that way with every congregation, first of all. That's a generalization. And second of all, whatever congregation it is where people willfully will not attend the assembly service is not doing the Lord's will. They are the convenient season attendees. That's what they are. And they're not seeking the Lord while He is there. Not looking unto Him. It may be a conviction problem. Maybe they were baptized, but not because of the right reason, not for remission of sins, not giving that allegiance to Christ Jesus. They were baptized for some other reason. Maybe that's the case. Maybe they're not a Christian at all. Because if you're baptized for some other reason than for the remission of your sins, you're not a child of God. But we cannot use this convenient season. But there are so many that do. Well, it's not convenient for me. Brethren, it wasn't convenient for Jesus to go to the cross. He didn't have to attend that day. It was not even His desire to do so, but yet He understood His responsibility. And there will always be aspects where there is an inconvenience. As a matter of fact, with every aspect of worship, every one of them, including attendance, there is a sacrifice involved. We give up what time we have because we recognize it's not ours, but rather it is God's that gave it, that time to worship and serve Him, and we should be doing it as we're going to be seeing with joy. Do you have the performing arts attendance? And I look at Matthew 23 and verse 5, but all their works do they do to be seen of men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. John 5 and verse 44. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? John 12 and verse 43. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And I will tell you that there you have the performing arts, so to speak, worship of men that really is not worship unto God, but they worship themselves. I was in a congregation one time where there was a wonderful song leader. I'm telling you, he is one of the best I've ever heard in my life. But he wasn't a Christian, really. Because the only time he showed up was when the privilege roster had him to lead singing. He was assigned to leading singing. Other than that, he wasn't going to be there. He was only there to perform. It was ceremonial to him, and there's not an aspect of ceremony in any worship before God. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. True worship is not ceremony. John the 4th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, but the hour is coming now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice this, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He doesn't want the pretenders. He doesn't want the performers. He's not even looking for the best. He's looking for those that will worship God in spirit and in truth from the heart. God is spirit, and they who worship Him is spirit and, in spirit and in truth. That's how God is truly worshipped. And it's not the performing arts. It's not about to hear our beautiful voices, those of you that have them. I will excuse myself from that. But rather, the true worship that comes from the heart, in spirit and in truth. Are you a let's make a deal attendee? We look over in Luke the 9th chapter, verses 57 through 62. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Remember, one came to Jesus after hearing Him teach, Master, I will follow You. Jesus presents to him the sacrifice in following Him. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. The birds of the field, they have nests. The foxes, they have holes. But the Son of Man has nothing. And then it goes on, and He said to another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And to another he said, Lord, I will follow You, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You understand that this let's make a deal thing, as Jesus says here, doesn't work. Lord, I'll follow You, but on my conditions, my terms, my time, when I want. No. It's not making a deal with the Lord whatsoever. Mark 12 and verse 30, Jesus says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And it carries all the way through God's will for those that are His children. Not a haphazard service before God, not a half-hearted service before God, but the true service of giving all. And this comes along with the warning, because this is what I have seen in several congregations. One of the spouses in a marriage relationship wants to serve God and wants to be there every time the doors are open. And the other one just really doesn't have much of a conviction. And so the one that is a true Christian and wants to try to follow God will say, come and go with me. And the other one will say, well, I'll go with you Sunday morning, but we're going to do what I want to do on Sunday evening. That's the let's make a deal. Here's the warning in connection with that. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to Him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as, keep that word as in mind, as a little child, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because the word as included in that verse there, Jesus is not talking about little children, but He's talking about those that have the quality of humility of little children. He's talking about children of God. He's talking about those that have understood what they need to do in order to be a child of God. He's talking about the mature in mind. And He says then in verse 5, whosoever receives one little child like this in My name receives Me. Verse 6, whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in Me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Don't make deals. Don't do it. Don't, if you're one that has this mentality of, I'll make a deal with you, don't drag the partner down in your marriage relationship. And I'm talking about male or female. I'm not talking about male and male, female and female. Don't drag them down from serving God. Don't do that, because a portion of God's Word is committed unto you in your judgment against you right here in verse 6. Don't have that let's make a deal attitude. If you're not truly a child of God, you will determine on what you want to do, but don't drag the other one down. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do you have the, well, I came, but I came kicking and screaming attitude in attendance? Psalm, the 10th chapter, verses 4 through 6. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. I don't want to be here. I'll tell you why, and this happens quite often with those that are young people that are not Christians, and they have already determined in their mind, I've seen this many times over the years, they've already determined in their mind, once I get away from mama and daddy, and they're not dragging me to services, I will never darken the door of a church building again. And that happens in this world, and that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of His sight. They think they're doing so well, but without God, they're truly not. As for all His enemies, He sneers at them. I have nothing to fear. He has said in His heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. I'll not hear the preacher talk about repentance. Whenever I get out of this house, I'll never do that again. I'll never be convicted to serve the Lord God. I will eschew the truth, and I will follow after what I think is right. That's what I will do just as soon as I get out of this house. Because I came a kicking and a screaming. I didn't want to be here in the first place. But it is well with those that desire to worship their God. Isaiah 3 verses 9 through 11, to look on their countenance, witnesses against them, those that came kicking and screaming. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous, though, that it will be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given to him. And those that don't wish to be here, quite often find such agony and misery in life because they have forgotten their God and do not want to hear the truth. Or do you have the I was glad attitude in attending? When we look over in Psalm 122nd chapter in verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Someone says, well, preacher, I understand. You know, you preach, and so certainly you want to be here. And I will just have to confess to you, I can't wait until Sunday comes around. I can't wait until Wednesday comes around. And in not waiting, we have even set up studies during the week. There is a desire that is there, but it's not just for the preachers, not just for the elders, it's not just for the strong members of this congregation. It should be for each and every one of us because it's going to make us strong to have this attitude. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. In Psalm 84, chapter verse 10 through 12, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. And there he puts it forth very clearly. To be among brethren, to hear God's Word, to be in fellowship, that spiritual fellowship that we're involved in today, what better is there than that? There is none that is better than that. There's no situation or condition better than that for one that is truly a child of God. That is the ultimate right there. No matter what the allurements of the world is, no matter what our thoughts are, it does not, all of those pale in comparison to what God's Word is and God's worship is and our sacrifice to do so. And so, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah says, again, seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Because we don't know when this life is over. So what is your attitude toward attendance? I want to take Amos 5, verses 4 through 6 in closing here. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek Me and live. Seek Me and live. Where is life? It's in God. It's in the Lord. But do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity. Bethel shall come to nothing, Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel. Bethel, here this reference is the two idols that were set up for so-called worship by Jeroboam in the days of the kings after Solomon's death. 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, verse 28 and 29. Therefore the king asked advice, make two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt and set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And I will tell you, those that make their own determination on when they want to worship God, first of all, are not worshiping, and it's not by God's will. And what he is calling for right here, what Jeroboam was calling for, make it easy on yourself. Make it easy on yourself. Well, again, worship, our worship before God has an element of sacrifice. Gilgal, and that's where transgression later abounded. Amos, the 4th chapter, verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal's multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the freewill offering. For this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord of God. He makes accusation against them. Don't seek your own righteousness. Well, I just don't want to get over-churched. I mean, it'll become mundane to me if I go to church too much. If I get over-churched, well, then it won't have the meaning to it whatsoever. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're a child of God, you can't get over-churched. Matter of fact, there's just not enough of worshiping God in your life. And then he also mentions Beersheba. And in Amos' time, it was a popular resort for pilgrims from North Israel. Don't focus on the physical ease that people search for so much in our land today. But do what Jesus said. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let me tell you what you can do. You can come to the Lord and you can worship him whenever these doors are open. And you can be pleasing to the Lord because you want to be here, because you have that attitude that David expressed. I was glad when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Or you can have that rebellious attitude that rejects God's will. It's going to be interesting. I just want to put this out here. It's pretty straightforward. I'll not apologize for it. It's going to be very interesting to see how many in attendance this morning comes back this afternoon. I think Jack may have gotten called out to work. We understand those situations. We understand them. I understand sickness. We understand that. What we don't understand, what the Lord doesn't understand most importantly, is the excuses that we come up with. I don't feel good. I could call a couple names in here that have lived for quite some period of time and ask them, how many days do you really feel good each and every day? And they would say, really, none. I don't really feel good all the time. But it doesn't stop them from doing things that they want to do. And that is really the thought there. We'll do what we want to do, and that's for sure. That's for sure. I went fishing on a boat one time out in the ocean. What a mistake. I got so deathly ill, seasick, that I was throwing up when there was nothing more to throw up that was in me. I was still throwing up. But I also am very hard-headed, and I paid money to go on that stupid trip. And I kept fishing because that's what I wanted to do. And I caught the second most fish on the boat. And I made an agreement with myself right then after that was over. I will never do that again. But I did what I wanted. And that's the truth of the matter. We'll do what we want to do. And so here we have, and it's not my judgment, it's God's judgment, and it's also your choice of what's going to happen this afternoon. Will you be back? Or will you make the excuse? Or will you be rebellious? Or will you fit one of those other attitudes of attendance, other than the one that says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. If you've not been attending God and worship Him the way that you should, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. And what I ask you to do is ask for forgiveness of your sins. Come forward. We will pray with you and for you. And you will be forgiven by God because you have that penitent attitude. If you intend not to be here this evening, that's the reason that I brought it this morning, because we have a pretty good attendance. I could have waited when no one was here, or very few were here this evening, and just brought this strong sermon for no one to hear it other than the ones that are always here. That doesn't make sense, does it? So that's the reason I brought it this morning. It's the reason I brought it this morning. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.